The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara here. If you're listening to the show right now, it's going to be airing on the day of our August 17th. That's our big day for us. It's the 13th annual Aging in Place workshop. So hopefully you attended. If not, you'll just find us every year. We'll be doing this as long as I can be able to produce the event. It's a free event. But today we have a gentleman I met actually several years ago when I first started hearing from Compassion and Choices about the Death with Dignity Bill, or Hawaii's Our Care, Our Choice Act, a bill that was passed into law last year, and then the law became effective April of this year, is Dr. Chuck Miller. And Chuck, you were one of the, pioneers, or because I actually met you at a private gathering, 4 or 5 years ago when we first started discussing this topic. Yeah. And so can you give our listeners your background and then how you got involved with this?
Sure. Percy, I've been a medical oncologist for 40 years, basically, of clinical practice. But even when I was still in clinical practice, I was a firm believer in a patient's choice about how they end their life. I felt that way strongly because, I mean, over 40 years, I've had thousands of cancer patients die. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many have asked me, Doc, can you help me end this? I just want it to stop. After I retired, I became much more actively involved with the whole movement of medical aid in dying here in Hawaii. I was not necessarily a member, but certainly a volunteer for the organization Compassion and Choices, which is a national organization. Mm-hmm. That they were the ones that actually wrote the legislation and supported it through in Oregon over 20 years ago. And they've been instrumental in virtually every state in the union where medical aid in dying has been approved. So I've worked with them. We really started working in earnest in the legislative session of 2017. Yeah, slip of the tongue. But in 2017, there was a bill. There were several bills, actually, but the main bill went through the Senate, and Senator Baker, her committee approved it. It went to the House, and it stalled in the House. I forget which. It's the committee that Representative Bilotti was the chair of at that time. And she realized she thought she had the votes when she went in there for the hearing, mm-hmm. and she realized that she wouldn't have the votes, and so she didn't try and even bring a vote up. What she did is she deferred the bill to the 2018 legislative session.
So didn't pass in 17.
Didn't pass and came close, but didn't pass. So in 2018. Compassion and Choices, and many other local organizations supporting medical aid in dying, became really loud. And one person I think who deserves far more credit than he actually gets is Mr. John Radcliffe.
Right.
Who he is a stage four cancer patient, and he is also a been a 40-year lobbyist with the state legislature.
Yes.
So he was really instrumental in gathering support in the legislature to get the law passed. And in April of 2018, the bill was passed by both houses by very strong majorities.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't unanimous by any means, but it was passed by both houses. And then in April, Governor Ige signed the bill. It became active, or it became
effective
on the 1st of January, 2019, this year.
Right.
So it's been a learning experience for myself and for every other physician.
Well, it's been a good learning experience.
Well, it's been a good learning experience.
Quickly. I mean, that I was involved early on. We had one of your national people of Compassion and Choice on the show in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go through, but it's pretty quick. 2 years is pretty quick.
Yes. Well, but you know the history, right?
Well, going a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Governor Ben Cayetano in 1998 put together a blue ribbon panel to focus and make recommendations about the future of health care in Hawaii.
Right. Okay. I remember that.
And the panel came up with 14 recommendations, one of which was back then was called a death with dignity bill.
Yeah, no,
the legislature passed 13 of those 14 recommendations.
Really?
You know the one they didn't pass. So
now that's about the same time Oregon passed theirs.
Yes, Oregon might have been 97 or something. But then in 2003, another bill was introduced. It went through the House, passed, fell three votes short.
Who was leading that
in
charge?
The Senate?
Do you remember?
I think it was Compassion and Choices. I don't think
so.
John was not involved back then. And then they've on and off over the succeeding years, they've had bills and never really made it. And then finally, 17 and 18, it became a success.
Yeah, and it's something I think I'm one of the few people you'll find that works in this field for 17 years. My background is financial mortgages. But in the last 14 years, I've been involved with Generations Magazine. Took it over 10 years ago. We start 10 years in October. And because I see aging all my clients from different stages of life, different issues in life, this issue here became really a passion of mine because I have a lot of clients pass on eventually. And in different ways, some are happy, some are sad situations, but I think this gives, if anything, an option to people. Because, as you know, we're so divided. And even with sessions and when the bill, when they had hearings, it still is divided a little bit,
mm-hmm.
or a great amount. But I think it's something that I just wish some of the people that are against the bill, I think a lot of it is just their personal beliefs and opinions.
I agree with you.
I just wish they wouldn't push it to the general public.
Yes, I agree with that too. You know, we did polling of the voters back in 17 and also again in December of 17 before the 18th. Yeah, and like a vast majority. I mean, 80% of the registered voters supported the idea of choice at end of life. And that's more than in any other state where they've passed the legislation.
And there's five or six states that have it passed now?
Actually, now there are nine jurisdictions. Wow. Besides Hawaii this year, New Jersey, and last year, Washington, D.C.
Right.
So we now have 9 jurisdictions, 8 states, and the District of Columbia.
Well, that's great. I mean, what you've been, John, we were trying to get John on the show if we can have it at some point. We have another one of the national representatives from Compassion Choices coming on the following week. But can you just give us, I mean, besides you working in, I didn't realize you worked for you were with the U.S. Army Medical Department.
That was quite a while ago.
You're a veteran as well? You're active duty?
I spent 30 years as a medical corps officer.
Here in Hawaii?
Well,
all over.
Not all. But I was 30 years in the military, fortunately, on and off, 14 of those years, I spent at Tripler.
Oh.
And I retired from the military in 1999.
Wow.
So then, long story short, we came back to Hawaii in 2000, and there was an opening for a medical oncologist at Kaiser. And so I spent 9 more years at Kaiser, and I said 39 years is enough.
So I'm an Army brat. That's why my father was 31 years Army.
Yeah,
so he's
great.
Been up to Tripler many times. My mother's been up to Tripler many times. She went through. She had breast cancer. They found a breast cancer of about size of a rice what is seedling kernel,
mm-hmm.
and it caught it that fast, that early. So that really was great for my mom, and that's one of the reasons why this August, September issue, we're featuring the 3 brave ladies from that cancer
yes.
ladies are on the cover.
That's great.
So let me ask you this. You know, when I saw your background, and I noticed that you've been, can you say you represent Kaiser's on this as a consultant?
Yes, but okay. Let me give you the perspective. I've been retired from Kaiser for 10 years. In November, the lady who took my place, Dr. Jennifer Carney, called me up and said, can you help us out to deal with the medical aid and dying issues? Because we know it's coming. We know it's going to be legal. And we know we're going to have patients asking for it. So I said yes. And I started working the 15th of January part-time. And for lack of a better term, I direct Kaiser's medical aid in dying program. They keep reminding me that the opinions I express in public are my own and do not reflect the
sure.
opinions of the Kaiser healthcare system. But that's kind of how it stands.
Well, I commend Kaiser for that, because as any of the other hospitals have somebody in place to help them comply.
Not like Kaiser does. Kaiser, you know, I mean, I loved working for Kaiser. Kaiser is such an integrated system. It has everything is anticipated to the best of their ability. When they saw the laws coming, they asked me to come, but we sat down with 2 nurses and a licensed social worker and some of the administrative people, and we put together a plan, a program, and they wrote the policies to do how to implement this for membership. And I can't say, you know, I don't know in depth, but I don't think Queens or HPH or Adventist Castle, and I know Kuakini doesn't, I don't think they have the kind of integrated system that we have set up out there.
Well, they have some practice, though, from other states. So they have a leg up a little bit.
Yes. California, you know, passed the law going on 3 years now. And
almost got repealed, though.
Yeah, they tried to. But I talked with one of the navigators, case managers from Southern California, and we actually invited her over to talk with our medical oncology group, the Hawaii Society of Clinical Oncology, and she was very helpful. She gave us a lot of insights about issues that they had to deal with when they started to implement the program. So it was helpful. There's no question about that.
So you must have worked with Cora Tellez then over there, right? Like Kaiser? Were you there when she was there? She's in California now. She moved back, I don't know how many, 20 years ago. And they were with Kaiser in L.A., I think.
No, I was never with Kaiser in L.A.
But she was here, and then she moved to Kaiser in L.A.
Oh, she probably moved, because I only started in 2001.
Oh, she might have been gone, but yeah. Because I know she started a thing called Amazing Care Network.
Mm-hmm.
Out of California. It's here in Hawaii. They're in our magazine. But for those of us, before we take a break, for those of us that may not know the specifics about the bill, the medical aid in dying, who is eligible in this process, can you go over that basically?
Sure. So the eligibility requirements are you have to be 18 years or older. You have to have a terminal diagnosis, terminal illness. You have to have a prognosis of 6 months or less to live. Mm-hmm. And that is based on the judgment, the clinical judgment of the physician who sees you to evaluate you for the eligibility. That, in Kaiser, that's me. You have to have the mental capacity to make medical decisions.
On your own.
On your own, certainly. But the mental capacity to make a medical decision is not the same as it is to, in a legal process or a legal court of law. And then the other thing you have
to... So who determines that?
Well...
Same doctor?
Well, each one of us do, okay? I can go into the whole thing, but the last requirement is that the patient has to be able to self-administer the medication,
right. Okay?
So then they have to make 3 requests for the medication. They have to make a first oral request. And then they have to make...
There's a waiting period.
There's a 20-day waiting period, which is the longest of any state in the union.
Why is that?
It's in the bill.
Okay.
And then they also have to make a written request, which can be in between during the 20-day waiting period. And then they have to be seen by an attending physician, who, for Kaiser, that's me. And then they have to be seen by a consulting physician who basically says, yes, I agree with Dr. Miller's assessment that the patient meets all the eligible requirements.
Could that be their primary care physician?
It could be their primary care physician. It could be their neurologist. It can be their, most of the time, it's their oncologist who has been treating them for whatever length of time. And then they have, again, this is only in Hawaii. Then they have a third evaluation by a mental health provider.
Right, I remember that.
It can be a licensed clinical social worker. It can be a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist. And his main job, his only job, is to determine, yes, I agree, this patient has the mental capacity to make a medical decision.
So at Kaiser, have they identified one person or?
Actually, they have several.
Okay.
They have several, one of whom is a good friend of mine who, again, like me, is doing this just part-time because he strongly believes in it.
And, you know, that's the only thing. When I read some of the comments, I love to read a newspaper in the morning before I get out of work, and some of the comments, and I've actually met a few doctors in the last year about their personal opinion. And I, the kukua mau, they're not going to say yes or no, but I know a lot of them have a personal agenda. I just wish they didn't have that agenda on other people's decision on whether they do this or not. I mean, I get it. Maybe it's religious or their faith, whatever it is, or the way they grew up, or Asian or Caucasian, or they're from the South or whatever. I just don't know how people can do that. With the same thing, whether they believe in a real or not, it's going to happen.
Well, I think, the one thing that struck me when they passed the bill in California, Governor Jerry Brown, who is a Catholic, very much so,
right.
His comment when he signed the bill, his comment was, I wouldn't do this, but it's not up to me to not allow others to do it. And that's the kind of attitude I think that I would hope that over time most people of faith, of most religious groups, I hope that they would adopt.
Yeah. Before we get into some of the numbers about the patients that have prescribed the drug, I understand certain pharmacies will not fulfill the prescription.
You're right.
Is that correct? Yeah. Is that a problem?
Well,
if only Kaiser is doing it, and Kaiser do they have their own pharmacy?
No, and that's there's a couple of barriers in pharmacy. The medication has to be compounded. Okay, it's actually four drugs. They are powders, and they are mixed together and put in a glass vial. And to do that kind of compounding, you have to be certified as a compounding pharmacy. Wow. And there are fair number, okay, mm-hmm. But as of right now, there's only two pharmacies on Oahu that are willing to do that. There's only one on Kauai. There's zero on Maui.
Maui of all places.
Yeah.
You would think.
And there's zero on the Big Island.
Really?
Yeah.
But can they, couldn't they just order, come here and order it?
Well, okay, I've seen two patients on the Big Island, three now on Maui, and I write the prescription and it goes to one of the pharmacies here on Oahu, and then the patient or the patient's authorized spouse or something will come and pick it up.
So that's a good question. So they have to identify that attorney of fact or guardian, whoever?
Well, the usual thing is that the patient writes a letter authorizing my husband, blah, 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 to pick up my medication for I don't know whether they put in medical aid in dying or for the Our Care, Our Choice Act or whatever. They present that to the pharmacist, and that meets all the legal requirements.
It's interesting when you say it's a compound of four.
Yes.
Is there a reason for that? I mean, I'm not. I don't know anything
about
this.
You don't want this to fail.
Right. Also, powerful drugs.
Well, okay. That's another whole story. The classic, the one drug that used to be used almost in all of it and started with
Oregon.
Was Secobarbital, a barbiturate.
Okay.
And the dose was 1,000 milligrams, 10 grams.
Wow.
And that's...
That's a lot.
Believe me, that's a lethal dose.
Did they put it in water? Was it just a powder?
Well, it's more complex than that. You would get 100 capsules of 100 milligrams each. You'd break the capsule apart... Dump the powder into a glass, mix the powder with water or whatever your favorite stuff was, and then drink it down within, the quicker you drink it, the quicker you fall asleep. Mm-hmm. So that drug was used for years and years, and that a few years ago, the company that has the rights to manufacture the drug in the United States raised the price to $5,000. And, I mean, that became insane. So
that's another area we have to bring somebody on to talk about this, pharmaceutical companies here.
Well, it was one pharmaceutical company, Valeant.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break.
Sure.
Dr. Miller, we'll be right back. We're talking about the Hawaii's Our Care, Our Choice Act that became effective April 1st of 2019.
January
1st. I'm sorry, January 1st of 2019 in Hawaii here. And we'll talk about some cases and some patients and what those families have been through themselves and some basic numbers on patients here in Hawaii to this date. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay.
Let your party
at the Cow. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play.
Let your party at the Cow.
We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Let your party at the
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Have you been looking for a safe anti-inflammatory for your health and longevity? Introducing Xanthosin, a doctor-recommended astaxanthin supplement that supports your joints, heart, liver, and longevity. Xanthosin is safe, pure, and specially formulated for superior absorption. Xanthosin complies with all FDA regulations for manufacturing and labeling. Xanthosin, the safe anti-inflammatory for health and longevity. Available at a GNC store near you.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
Hi, I'm back again. This is Ed speaking on Medicare Hints.
A lot of people may not realize that they may qualify for extra financial assistance to help pay for their premiums and prescription drug costs, depending on their income and their total assets. These savings can be especially helpful for seniors who are on a fixed income.
Find out if you qualify. Call us.
Helping you work your way through the confusion. Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit voidvacationshawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Percy here every Saturday from 5 to 6 here on AM 690. And we actually replay it Sunday afternoon from 3 to 4 when you're visiting with your family. I know a lot of you guys have their monthly or weekly family dinner. We have a monthly one in our family. We get together and I see a lot of my cousins and uncles and nieces and get together. It's this great time. And I've always talked about this topic about, I don't know if you can say medical aid in dying or just Hawaii's Our Care, Our Choice Act. But it's something that, you know, when I've got involved, we had with Blake Oshiro, and I can't remember the other lady's name on our show, and I believe it was early part of 18 before the bill was finally passed. I'm here with Chuck Miller, Dr. Chuck Miller, who's helping be a consultant with Kaiser. And from what I've been reading in the newspaper, how many people have actually gotten the prescription completed, requested this?
I can only give you what I know about Kaiser and one or two other physicians who I know have. So long story short, I personally have received 28 requests since the 15th of January.
Okay.
I have written 7 prescriptions. And 7 people have died. Only 4 of them have died from taking the medication.
Really?
Yeah. But the other statistic, which is very disheartening to me, is that 5 of the people who I saw for an initial evaluation died before they could reach 20 days. So they never had the chance. And that's really sad.
It is. It's almost like people not using hospice early enough.
That's exactly right. Percy, I have to say this, that it's pretty easy when I go to the patient's home, and if I have to sit by their bedside to have these discussions, I can tell, like, right that first meeting, whether or not they're going to make 20 days. And I don't ever say that to them or their family, but it's discouraging when you're meeting with those patients who seriously, they know what they want. They know when they want it. Unfortunately, a lot of them wait too long.
Yeah. And why do you think that is?
I think because several reasons. Number one, it's a brand new law. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And there hasn't been a big widespread media campaign to educate patients about it.
Basically, newspapers are about it.
That's about it. Compassion and Choices
has
been doing what they call an access program, but they're very limited. Yeah. They don't have the bandwidth, I guess, is the best way to say it. So I think that's one thing. It's new, and there's really no educational push to help patients.
We're going to help you with that.
Okay. I appreciate that. And believe me, it's needed.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, the number, like you said, is disheartening. When I first started getting involved with this, I would say about 5-6 years ago, when I saw the numbers in hospice in Hawaii was one of the worst in the country, because they're utilizing it. And then we were number two in the country at people dying in the ER.
Yeah.
Which is not good. I think number one was New York at the time. When I saw those numbers, I questioned why. And a lot of it's just education. A lot of it's just not enough PR awareness. And so one of the things we want to do is like this cover story we're doing in this August, September is on breast cancer. And the Susan G. Komen run in October. We want to be able to start doing this. And we want to be able to start being a little bit more of an advocate. Mm-hmm. So if I can reach out to you later on to do maybe a cover story on this.
Certainly.
We'd love to do that.
Sure.
What kind of patients, what kind of issues patients are coming to you to request the prescription?
The vast majority are cancer patients. Again, I'm speaking only from Kaiser perspective. Mm-hmm. The other two physicians who I know of outside of Kaiser, those were also cancer patients. So I'd say 80% cancer patients. We've had two neurologic patients, ALS and Parkinson's. We've had two end-stage COPD, emphysema.
Right.
And we've had one, I think it's just one now, cardiac, end-stage heart failure. So
they had it. Okay. Well, 20 days. Hopefully that's a long window for some of these patients.
Yes.
You know, and so so the law passed January 1st, when were they able to first get a prescription? Was it April 1st?
But no, by law, they have to make the oral request day that they make the oral request, that starts the clock ticking. So I'll use the example of John Radcliffe, and I know he won't object to this. John actually called me up and said on the 2nd of January, he said, "All right, I want this drug. I want the drug." And I said, "John, I got you. I'm here for you. But the way the system is set up with Kaiser, it can't be done that way. It has to be done as an official visit." And so I had an official home visit with him on the 15th of January. And we went through the rest of the steps were completed on time. But then back in early February, we didn't have any pharmacies that would do the drugs. So Compassion and Choices and Kaiser, they spent a lot of time and energy identifying a pharmacy that would compound the medication. And long story short, John didn't pick up his medication until 60 days after he made the request.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he the first?
He was the first, the best of my knowledge, yeah.
Well, just like the 10 years ago, we were the first state in the union to legalize medical marijuana. But what, five states beat us to get to the door to dispense the marijuana, the cannabis?
Yeah.
So I get it. So when we're talking about patients, are these other two doctors you mentioned that prescribe, are they practice on their own then?
Yes.
No. So the other question I saw is that HMSA does not cover this?
Depending on your policy. Insurance. HMSA will cover it. Again, they have policies that don't cover hardly anything, and they have, you know, super duper ones. And the more comprehensive HMA policies, my understanding is, I got this from Dr. Ray Seitz, the more comprehensive coverages will cover it. And by the way, Medicaid will cover the cost of the drugs.
Really?
Yes.
Is that something new, or is it always part of the process?
It's relatively new because it's the law is new. But I talked with Dr. Curtis Toma, who is the medical director for the Hawaii, Quest. Oh, no, Quest. For Hawaii Medicaid, and he agreed that, you know, it makes perfect sense. What I think they were having a bit of a problem with earlier was you can't use federal funds for the medication. So it has to, you know, and Medicaid is a combination of federal and state funds. So they can only use funds that are from the state's section of Quest funds. Mm-hmm. And sure. They will cover that.
How are the families taking this? And what is their experiences like? And debating their loved one's decision or the process? What's your experience?
Again, just my experience. I never met with, and I have to tell you this, it's my recommendation. What I like to do is, if the patient agrees, I like to go to the patient's home for the first meeting and meet with them and sit with them. Every time I have done that, or even when they've come to the clinic to see me, it's never been alone. They have always had their family in support. Yes. And, I think that the patients know why they want to do this, and everyone I've been with, the families understand that. They understand why their spouse or their uncle or why they need to do this, and they've been very supportive. An anecdote, a lady, a patient I saw in Kona, and this might have been in the paper on Civil Beat, he got his prescription and made the decision it's going to be today. He was on hospice. And we strongly recommend they go on hospice.
Sure.
He dressed up in his best aloha shirt, and they danced, and then he mixed the medication up and drank it and laid down and went to sleep in about 15 minutes and was dead in an hour.
Wow.
And the wife was there, and she was happy to have the hospice nurses there also supporting her. And we encouraged that. I encouraged that
for
every family to have that kind of support.
Yes.
I will offer, every patient I've seen, I've offered that if they want me to be there when they take the medication, I'm happy to do that, providing I'm on island. That's the only option.
On what?
providing I'm on the island. Yeah. If I'm on the mainland, probably not. Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's great, you know. Your compassion, let alone passion for this, I've watched it from afar, and I'm glad you're able to come on today. What are some of the doctors' feelings on this, or do they feel any liability? Is that the reason why they're not coming forward with this, or just personal belief or religion?
I don't think it's liability at all, because the law is very protective of any provider who, as long as they follow the, you know, the requirements mm-hmm. in the bill, the law, they're protected. So it's, I think, well, there's clearly a group of physicians, providers, not just physicians, but nurses and others too, but who, for their own personal religious beliefs or ethics, just don't want to do it. I don't believe in this. I can't do it. Then there's the rest of them are maybe a little ambivalent, but it's, again, primarily a lack of understanding and education. I can tell you this. When January 1st came around, that bill became legal.
How many calls did you get?
Well, I got a few, but the point is, I will bet money that less than 2% of the physicians in this state had ever even looked at the bill. So they said, well, I'm not going to deal with it. I don't have to deal with this. Well, you guess what? It's a law, and you do have to deal with it one way or the other.
But don't you think some doctors, like, I can see if you're an oncologist like yourself, and cancer is a primary reason why people look at this option. If you're not an oncologist, you probably don't get involved with too many patients that are near death. Right?
That's true, except neurologists have a lot of end-stage disease, and the pulmonologists with end-stage lung emphysema, less so, I think, with cardiologists. And I have to say this, over the past 6 months, 7 months, since the bill has been legal, many of the oncologists that I know personally are comfortable providing this service to their own patients. Not maybe so much to just see somebody who's, I want to be referred for medical aid and dying purposes.
Has anybody thought about doing a workshop for the doctor to come to and learn about this?
We did one in January for the Hawaii Society of Clinical Oncology.
Okay.
And I'm doing another workshop.
How many showed up, by the way?
200. Let me paraphrase that. 200 healthcare providers showed up. The minority of that was physicians.
Okay.
It was mostly nurses, pharmacists, the supportive personnel made up the majority of
the
people,
the attend,
not the doctors.
So what, does the Hawaii Medical Association reach out to them more? No?
I just was on an email yesterday with Chris Flanders, and the Hawaii Medical Association has come out with a neutral policy about medical aid in dying.
Even though it's a law.
Well, neutral is saying, you know, it's okay if you want to do this, and it's okay if you don't. And that's the way most medical associations or organizations are standing now.
Yeah, but they should still provide the educational component to that.
Well, I've talked to him about it. I said I'm willing to come and do a presentation to HMA. We're working on that.
What, HMSA?
Now? I don't know. Hmm. I have talked with Dr. Bussey, George Bussey, who is the medical director for Hospice Hawaii, and they have been much more accommodating lately in terms of allowing their nurses to stay with the patient when they take the medication.
That's a good point. Like, how would St. Francis deal with this?
They don't.
They don't. I didn't think so.
No.
I had talked to somebody at St. Francis when the bill was after the bill was passed. It was interesting. We had actually a judge present on this case because his mother wanted it. And he was giving his personal opinion about it and why it's important. And somebody, he was saying about how some religious sectors are not involved, not getting involved. So I put them together in a conversation. I said, you know, meet this person. You meet this person. I just left the conversation. I didn't want to get involved with it. But I don't know whatever happened to that. But, yeah. So
yeah.
And Kukuamau, but I told Kukuamau, I said, they need to be help educate people.
Well, you know, I think they're doing a better job now.
Oh, sure.
Initially, in 2017 and 18, Kukuamau did not support the law.
Yeah.
But once it passed, they become much more supportive. And I think one of the reasons is the kind of a side effect of having this legislation is more and more patients are going into hospice at an earlier point in time. So, you know, it's not the, like the last 3 days before they pass.
Yeah, it still happens, though.
Yes, I know.
I had personal family and clients and friends that it's amazing why the family doesn't want to do it. And one of the best kept secrets is post-grievance counseling.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very important.
It is.
Because I have a few friends of mine, a spouse passed away, and the spouse's, remaining spouse is still dealing with it 2 or 3 years later on. And I don't even know if they knew that was part of hospice.
And, probably not.
And that's something that I mean, I didn't know actually as well. I mean, I was at the time when I found out, I was only 55. I'm 59 now. I didn't even think about that. But when I heard about it, that really makes a lot of sense. And I just wish more and more of this can be brought out. And we will help with that. And that's one of the things as a resource magazine, we really want to do that. But, you know, Dr. Miller, you know, you went on the pioneers of this bill. And where do you think we can go with this? I mean, I really hope, you know, HPH and Queens can really get on board and see how, you know, we're dealing with people's lives here and families, and we really need to get them to understand it's an option. It's not something everybody's going to do.
Yeah, medical aid in dying is not for everyone. I mean, even in Oregon and the other states, the number of deaths from medical aid in dying each year is usually less than 1% of all of the deaths from health issues.
Right.
So, but I actually just did a presentation Tuesday to the oncology staff at HPH.
I'm good.
And they're kind of like the Kaiser oncology. I think most of them are willing to support their patients if their patient requests the medication, requests medical aid in dying. I don't think most of them have a problem with that. They still don't have a system. I mean, basically right now it's all going through the oncology navigator to kind of sort this out and do all the footwork before it happens. So I think that's, and I think eventually Queens will sort it out too.
I think they will, you know. But anyway, we're almost out of time. What can you tell the families or the doctors about the bill? How can we move this little step further?
Well, I think for the families, my biggest message would be don't wait too long. If you and the patient have talked about this at all, then move on it. Don't wait.
Yeah.
For physicians, I can reflect my personal experience that it has been very gratifying for me to be able to help these patients and their families. And what I found is that the families are very grateful.
Thank you, Dr. Chuck Miller. For more information, go to CompassionChoices.org. There's a lot more information on the law about the issue. And we thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Miller. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
As always, everybody, aloha and live well.